Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus, today's second lesson is one of the most dramatic texts in the entire Bible. Just think of it. War in heaven. The Archangel Michael making war against the great dragon. This is no earthly battle. This is no battle between nations. This is war in heaven. And it's a war that was initiated by Michael. He was the aggressor, and the dragon fought back. But the dragon had no hope of winning, because Michael was commander of God's army of angels, and this army hurled that great dragon down to the earth. Three times, we're told, the great dragon was hurled down. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. The accuser of our brothers and sisters has been hurled down. That was the dramatic war and the outcome of that war in heaven. And then John hears a great voice that says, "Rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, rejoice." And then that great voice continues, "Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you." How shall we, in the 21st century, how shall we respond to this dramatic heavenly battle and to this great voice that is sounded? A proper response is summed up in these two words: rejoice, beware. Let's look first at the opponents, the Archangel Michael. Archangel is a word that means the chief angel or prince of angels. He's referred to the Archangel in the book of Jude. In the book of Daniel, you have three references to Michael. By the way, Michael's name means who is like God. So he's a very special person. And in our first lesson from the book of Daniel, we heard that he was one who was chief prince who protects God's people. So here is a chief prince, a great prince, head of the angels, whose job it is to protect God's people. That's what we hear of Michael in the book of Daniel. And Michael, over the centuries, has become very popular. If you look at the inside cover of your worship folder, there's some information about this day. And it says there, one very popular festival in the young Lutheran churches was the festival of Saint Michael and All Angels. And he's often shown in art. The cover of your worship folder is one example of that artwork. In this case, it's by a very famous German artist, Albrecht Dürer. His initials are at the very bottom. That's an A and a D, Albrecht Dürer. And it shows Michael with this great spear, which he is thrusting into the dragon. Sometimes in art, he's pictured as an angel who's got armor on him. Here he's pictured more like an angel with wings. The very famous Lutheran composer Johann Sebastian Bach wrote three very wonderful cantatas for this festival day. When we think about Michael, we think of a reason to rejoice, because of who Michael is and what Michael has accomplished. Because of Michael, we rejoice. Now, on the other hand, there is this great dragon, and he is described further in the first or the second lesson as the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan. We know him better as the devil or Satan. He's also described here as the ancient serpent. And that takes us back to the Garden of Eden. You remember how the devil appeared to Adam and Eve in the form of a snake, in the form of a serpent. So that's his characteristic. That's the way he's pictured there in Genesis, and that reference here puts us back there. And we see that the work of Satan, as it's described here, is exactly what he did in the Garden of Eden. He leads the whole world astray. The devil's work is to get people to fall into sin. His work was to get Adam and Eve to fall into sin. He even tried to get Jesus to fall into sin. He tempted Jesus. Jesus resisted the temptation. But you see how bold Satan is, that he even attacked Jesus, that he even tempted Jesus to fall into sin. Then there's one more description of him. He's called the accuser of our brothers and sisters. The word accuser actually reminds us that in the Hebrew language, the word Satan means accuser. That's the way he's pictured, as one who accuses people and tries to make them feel their sin or that they aren't what they should be. In the Old Testament, there's the story of Job. You've heard about Job, I'm sure. And it's Satan as the accuser who comes to God and he says, if you let me have Job, I can get him to sin and to reject you. And so God said, okay, try. You see, there is his role, that role of Satan. So there you have the two opponents, Saint Michael and the great dragon. Because of Michael, we rejoice. Because of this great dragon, we need to beware. Now, when did this battle take place? That's an interesting question. We like to know, when do battles take place? Earthly battles can be dated. The Battle of Gettysburg, for example, July 1863. The Battle of Waterloo, June 15th, 1815. We can date earthly battles, but this battle is not dated at all. There's no indication at all as to when this took place. In fact, if you read your scriptures, you're going to find out that there are other references apart from this story in the book of Revelation about Satan's fall from heaven. You go way back to the beginning of the world after creation. Satan, one of the good angels at that time, led angels in rebellion against God. And in Peter's second letter, he says that Satan was cast down. He was thrown out of heaven. And then he began his work. He went to the Garden of Eden and tempted Adam and Eve. So there you have a reference to the fall of Satan. And if any of you are English majors, you maybe remember John Milton. John Milton wrote a great poem called Paradise Lost. And in this poem, Milton pictures the fall of Satan way there, before the fall of human beings into sin. So that's one example of where Satan fell. You have another in today's gospel. After the disciples had returned to Jesus after their first mission journey, Jesus says to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I saw Satan fall? And so you can't really date when this battle in heaven took place. Rather, we should look at it as an ongoing truth. Satan has been cast down. That's the meaning of this battle in heaven. So the most important question for us is not, when did this battle happen? The most important question for us is the catechism question, what does this mean? What does this mean that Michael defeated the devil? It means this, that the devil is done for. In God's great plan of salvation, the devil is done for. He's defeated. He has lost his place in heaven, and in the end, he's going to be judged and eternally destroyed. So that's the basic meaning. And we get that from the fact that Michael defeated the devil. But really, Michael's defeat of the devil is not the most important thing. The most important thing is that Jesus defeated the devil. Jesus defeated the devil when he resisted the temptations there from Satan. He did not succumb to Satan. He overcame Satan. But the decisive defeat of the devil is when Jesus died for our sins, atoned for all of our wickedness, rose again on Easter Sunday morning. He lives. He has conquered Satan. Death did not hold Jesus. And Luther spells that out so wonderfully in his explanation to the second article. Some of you have probably memorized that, where Luther writes, Christ has redeemed us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. To redeem means to set free. Christ has set us free from the power of the devil. The devil is done for. Luther also sings of that in his great Reformation hymn, A Mighty Fortress, third stanza, these words, this world's prince, and by that he means the devil, this world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. And because of what Jesus has done for us, because of his victory over Satan, we certainly have reason to rejoice. And that's what this great loud voice that John heard calls on the inhabitants of heaven to do. Rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. Rejoice, because now you have the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. Rejoice. He addresses the inhabitants of heaven, and we can be sure that the people who are in heaven do rejoice because they know there's no place for Satan in heaven. He's been hurled down. He doesn't have any rights to be there in heaven, even though initially he was created as a good angel. But now, because of his wickedness, his rebellion, he is cast down. Rejoice. But when John wrote these words in the Revelation to St. John, he meant that also for the Christians who read it, the people who lived in Asia Minor, that part of the world in which these Christians were, and where they were suffering persecution and oppression, where they were, some of them even, being killed for their faith. He wanted them to rejoice. He wanted them to know that even though things weren't going well for them in their earthly lives, they had reason to rejoice because the devil has been defeated. That's a fact of our faith. And these words are meant also for us today, that we should rejoice. There are times when we think evil is going to win out in this world. Sin has the upper hand. Things are going so bad. It's then that we need to go back to such a scene as this, that Michael hurls Satan down. Satan is defeated. And so in the end, God will win the victory. Therefore, rejoice. At the same time, beware. Why? Because though Satan was cast down from heaven, hurled down, he is now on the earth. And so this loud voice continues, "Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." Those are scary words to think of it, that now the devil is active in our world. And St. Peter, in his first epistle, also talks about how the devil goes around trying to get people to fall into sin. "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Here he's pictured not as a dragon, but as a roaring lion who wants to eat up Christians in a spiritual way. And so Peter says, be alert, be sober-minded, beware. Yes, we do need to beware, but we also need to use the resources that God has given us to defeat the devil. And those resources were used by the early Christians, and John refers to them in the second lesson, the resources that the early Christians used to defeat Satan. They triumphed over him. They triumphed over this dragon by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. There are two things here. First of all, they triumphed over Satan by the blood of the Lamb. What does that mean? That means that they kept going back to the fact that Jesus had shed his blood. He had died for them, and in that way had freed them from the power of Satan. So to keep remembering that also for us in our lives when we're tempted, go back to the cross. Go back to what Jesus has done for you, how he has conquered Satan, and how he has given you his grace and forgiveness. Then the other thing is that we use the word of testimony. You know, when Jesus defeated Satan, what did he do? He used the scriptures. He quoted the scriptures against Satan. And that's what's meant here, by the word of their testimony, by how they testified to their faith. So we also must use scripture in order to defeat the attacks of Satan. He will tempt us. Satan will tempt us to worry and to doubt. Satan will tempt us to walk on the pathways of sin. Satan will tempt us even perhaps to give up our Christian faith. But we have the resources to fight against Satan, the blood of the Lamb and the word of testimony. And so even as we need to beware, we also need to rejoice that God has given us this resource to fight Satan. It was about 1,200 years ago that a church was dedicated in the city of Rome. It was dedicated to St. Michael. That church was called St. Michael. And the dedication took place on September 29th. And so each September 29th, these people remembered the dedication of St. Michael. And soon that became an occasion for a festival to celebrate St. Michael and All Angels. And that festival spread then to Germany. You have reference to that in your worship folder, and then to England, and also by our Lutheran Church. And so today, we once again celebrate the day of St. Michael and All Angels. It's a day to give thanks, for what God has given us in the victory over Satan, to give thanks for the protection that is given us by his holy angels. It is a day also to rejoice because of what God has given us. And so our response on this festival of St. Michael's is twofold. Rejoice, beware. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.